Hey there, it's Melissa Brunetti, and welcome to the Mind Your Own Karma podcast.
Hey there, Karma crew. Thanks for joining me for this episode of Mind Your Own Karma, The Adoption Chronicles. Today, I have Veronique Kinter on the show today. She is an adoptive parent. And if you are an adoptee listening, before you reach for the pause button on your computer or listening device, I would like you just to hold on for a minute. And I would like to plant just maybe a couple of seeds in your head to entice you to listen to this episode. You know, in adoptee circles, we know there needs to be reform in the adoption agency arena. There's so many things that we feel is wrong with it. And some of us feel like adoption shouldn't even be legal, that it should be abolished. But in my eyes, I don't see that happening anytime soon. So what can we do to make the changes that we want to see in the adoption world? And how can we do that? How can we make those changes? And for me, I feel like education is really the key to where change can begin. And how can we make that change if we don't know what changes need to be made? And how do we find out what changes need to be made? I have found that listening to not only adoptee stories, but birth parent and adoptive parent stories have educated me so much in what I personally feel like needs to change. You know, we've all been told some kind of story. Adoptees have been told we're lucky and we've been chosen and, you know, had that pounded into our heads. And then birth parents have been told you're doing the right thing for your child. And adoptive parents, you're gaining a family and you're helping a child in need gain a family as well. And so it's a win-win scenario. But are we being told the truth? And how do we know what the truth is if we don't listen to adoptive parent, birth parent, and adoptee stories? So that is why I've opened up this podcast to an adoptive parent. I bombarded Veronique with 1,000 questions. And, you know, I'm looking at it as an adoptee. She's looking at it as an adoptive parent. And I hope that we both learn from each other. I know I learned from Veronique. So let me tell you a little bit more about Veronique. Veronique is an adoptive mother of a baby girl through an open adoption that happened in 2021. She is originally from the French Caribbean, but was born and grew up in France. She is married and is a mother of two lovely girls, one biological, one adoptive. She moved to the United States in 2003 and has been living in California for 20 years. She worked in the tech industry for years, but now wants to spend more time with her family, raising her girls and supporting her husband. She is a co-host on the podcast High Vibes and a Mic with her friend Sylvia, where they talk about parenting and spirituality. She says that being an adoptive parent has been a dream come true for her family after trying for years to have a second child. Here is my interview with Veronique. So we are welcoming Veronique to the show today. Hi, Veronique.
Hello, Melissa. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. So I don't get a lot of adoptive parents on the show. So I want to thank you so much for volunteering on coming on, because I have 1,000 questions to ask you. And I don't know, we kind of discussed earlier, I don't know how much time you spend on the adoption platforms or social media spaces, but the adoptive parent can kind of be the bad guy or the one getting beat up a lot or talked about a lot in those spaces. So that's partly why I want to bring adoptive parents on the show, because I want to educate people on your perspective. And so that's why I'm opening up the podcast this season to adoptive parents as well, because we can't see the changes that we want to make if we don't get the whole story. And I feel like that's a big piece of the story. So, you know, I'm coming at it from an adoptee lens and you're coming from the adoptive parent lens, and I'm here to learn from you. And hopefully, you know, if you feel like you want to ask me a couple of questions, I'm totally open to that as well. Feel free to ask me anything that comes up. So let's just start and tell me what you feel comfortable about talking about why you decided to adopt.
Sure. So it has always been very difficult for me to get pregnant. I met my husband in my 30s, mid-30s, so we didn't waste any time, but it was very difficult, a lot of miscarriages. Then finally, I got my daughter when I was 39. And after
now
2 years...
That one's biological.
Biological, yeah, my first
Yes.
one, sorry, my first daughter, yeah.
Okay.
Biological, when I was 39. And then after that, we tried IV. No, I mean, we tried, you know, hormones and other stuff, and we were about to do IVF. And I was like, you know, I can't put my body through that again. It's too much. So I told my husband, I don't want to do that. She's going to be an only child, and that's it. And I don't know, one day we were on vacation, and I saw my daughter. She was playing alone in the pool. And I had like an epiphany. I'm like, oh, no, she can't be alone. And my husband told me about, he's the one actually who told me about adoption before. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And I don't know, I had like an image, mental image in my, in my mind. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do this. And so this is, you know, the day we decided, okay, let's go, you know, let's check what, you know, if we can do adoption, you know, how long it takes and how we can get there. It was kind of a long journey, but also very short. When I check now, we, you know, other people, other adoptive parents, we are very lucky, I think. We were matched with a birth mother very, very quickly. I think it was just at the right time. Everything happened when it
Talk
was supposed
about
to
how
happen.
That match happens. How did that work for you?
So I did some research online to find a legit, you know, adoptive agency.
Mm-hmm.
I live in California, licensed by California and everything. And we went through actually my husband's job because they had referral, and also they will help, thank God, they help to pay the fee of the agency, because people need to know it's really, really expensive. It can go up to $20,000. So thank God his job, a lot of companies in the Bay Area, they cover, they can give that as a benefit, in your benefit. Yeah. And we were lucky he had that. I think without that, we wouldn't have done it anyway. It was really, yeah, really expensive. So contacted the agency. When we started, it was the beginning of COVID. So usually what they do seminar. You go to the agency, you do seminar, and they give you all the information you need as a adoptive parent and what you can expect. So we did three seminars online because it was COVID. We did three seminars online. Each seminar was like 2 hours. And the thing I really like is during the seminar, they had birth mother that came to talk to us, could ask them any question we wanted. They were really open. One was, a young girl. I mean, she had a baby when she was really young. So we had that side of the story of somebody very young cannot take care of her baby and realize I won't be able to do this alone. And she had an open adoption. And the other one, she had some mental issue. I think bipolar, something like that. So she realized, and the man who she had the baby with had also like even more mental issues. So she's like, yeah, there's no way I can do that. And she did also an open adoption. So I was very happy to see those two sides and the way they explain, you know, how it worked. And I was, as a adoptive parent, you know, and I already have a daughter, I was really afraid, oh my God, how am I going to compete with another woman to be a mom? Because you know, you don't want to compete. You don't have the baby to have two moms, right? And something one of the ladies said, she said, oh, by the way, don't, I mean, that's her experience. Maybe it's not the same for everybody. But she was saying for her, she doesn't feel like she's really the mom to, even though she sees her child almost every week because she lives very close to her child. But she's an artist, so she travels a lot. I mean, she doesn't have, you know, the time to really take care of a child. And she said that, for her, it's more that she's the auntie now after a while. And the child knows she's the birth mother. And he said to his friend, you know, I have two mom. And he looks like he was really, so she removed that part of stress for me. I'm like, okay, so maybe we can do this. And also my background, I was raised, my mom had me as a teen also. So she had a lot of help from my grandmother, from another woman who was taking care of other kids. So like you say, you know, we say it takes a village. So I was raised by like three different women, and there was no competition. It was almost like more love and more love. And I was really, I think I did okay. So I'm thinking, you know, oh, if we do open adoption, That child is going to be very loved by us, by our family, but she's also going to have a birth mother. She will know where she comes from, because I know it's really hard when you don't know where you come from.
Yeah.
I don't know my dad, and I still have issue about it. Because there's one side of myself, and I'm like, you know, who am I?
Yeah.
So I want, you know, the baby I will going to adopt to know exactly where she's from. So we're like, okay, let's do this. I think it's a good way for us to have a baby. So
what was the process? Because I think you had to make a profile, and it was like the birth mother chose you guys, I think.
Yeah, so it's like dating. So you have to do we felt like it was dating.
Right.
So you have to do a whole profile. So they do they direct you to another agency, of course, who's gonna do that for you. There's something outside of their agency. It's like a marketing company, that's what they do. And they do a very, very good job. So you have, and it takes a long time, because you have to write everything about yourself, everything about, you know, your kid, if you have a dog, picture of your house, you know, and it looks very, very nice. They have the profiles on paper and also online, because this way they can just give it, you know, to birth mother when they are at the hospital. If they want, they say, you know, I don't want to live with the baby. So they have a lot of flyer they can pass, you know, pass along to the birth mothers. And of course they can check also online. If she knows, maybe she's 6 months pregnant, she's like, I know, and I won't be able to do this, she can go online and check all the profiles. All profiles are available online. So yeah, we did that. We did a profile.
So now you're in competition with a bunch of other families that are like looking
you
for
know
babies.
What? Actually, not really. You know why? Because I'm going to tell you something that's very funny. We were the only Black family in there. And that was a big advantage, actually. I think that's why it went very fast for us.
Yeah.
Because we were a Black family. We also really put in our profile that we were Christian, you know, going to church and everything. And the demographic, the agency told us the demographic of the kids being a place for adoption, most of them are Black, Latinos, and mixed race. So in my head, I was never really worried. I'm like, okay, if there's most of them are Black, in my mind, the woman is going to, you know, place her kid with us, she might be also Black or Latino or mixed race or whatever. Yeah. And we're the only family there. And I think that's why also it went very fast with us. But the joke was on me anyway, because the birth mother who chose us was white. So
really? Oh, wow.
but the dad of the baby is Black. So she's mixed race.
how long did it take you guys to get picked?
So we were in the middle. We had like different little scales. So we were in the middle of doing the paperwork, and we weren't even done doing the paperwork like for 3 months. And we had an email saying, hey, we might have a match for you. And we're like, we're not even done doing the profile. And they're like, yeah, but she's a teen and she's looking for somebody like you. So she sent us, we just wrote a letter, but we didn't get picked for that one. We're like, okay, you know, we're not really ready. Then we are done with everything. Everything was ready. And we were going, so it was during the pandemic. So I said, okay, we're going to go see our family in France for the whole month of July. Can you put our profile in August? This way, you know, we won't get matched before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they found a match or something. And they emailed me the day I landed in France.
Oh my God.
I had an email. We have a match for you. And she's in Arizona, something like that. I'm like, I can't come back. It's pandemic. You can even leave the country. You know, you have to stay in your house for like 10 days.
Yeah.
And that was like a match. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this is the second time. And I was like, this is not happening again. So we had to pass on that one.
Mm.
And then after that, it took 9 months. So we got matched in March, spring break, because we're again on vacation. Every time we go on vacation,
that's the trick.
But this time we went in America.
On vacation.
On vacation. I think it's, you know, when you don't think about it, because I thought about it every day.
Yeah.
Every day I was like, oh, this is going to be the day. I'm going to receive that email, that phone call, you know, and nothing. And I'm like, okay, let's just relax and have a nice vacation. We go to New Orleans for a week. After 3 days, we receive an email. We have a match for you. She doesn't even want to see any profile. She saw you and she wants you. She wants to choose you. So are you okay to receive a phone call and start talking with her? We're like, yes. So we got matched after 9 months. Like
Okay,
really,
that is fast.
yeah,
What
right?
did the, do you know why the birth mother wanted to give up her child?
Oh yeah. In a nutshell, so she got pregnant with somebody who was not her boyfriend at the time. Then she went back with the boyfriend, and the boyfriend was like, "I don't want the baby, and I don't want to tell my family that you're pregnant with another man's baby. So we won't tell anybody, but you have to take care of it." So she chose a boyfriend, and she was like, "You know, I want, but I want to place her with a good family, with the same." She's really spiritual. She's like, "I want a, you know, a good family that will raise her, you know, in the Christian faith and everything." And she wanted a black family because I think she was a bit paranoid, you know, about race. And she was like, if she's raised with a black family, we would be able to teach her maybe to be careful about, you know, racism or whatever. She thought that if she placed her with a white family, they won't be aware of this because her daughter is mixed race. And she's like, if she's with a black family, you're more aware of what's going on in the world. So you'll be able to teach her, you know, to be aware of what's going on around her. I was like, okay, yeah, sure. I mean,
Is that something that you feel like you're gonna, you know, your daughter m someday might ask why her birth mother gave her up? And, you know, hearing that, like you just said, she chose her boyfriend over her baby and had the feelings surrounding that she'll have about that. How do you think you'll handle that?
I don't think I will say it like that. I might not say it like that. So maybe she's gonna watch that later. I don't know. But I think we will explain, you know, that. Her mom at the time, because I think I know her mom has also some mental issue. She has mental issue. We realized that after a while. And I think she was in her right mind. And she was really brainwashed by that man. Because I think deep down, she didn't want to give up the baby. I don't think she really wanted to place her baby. And if she also she had issue with her family, we learned later that her family offered to help her parents, her sister. And she was, and I was talking on the phone with her like every day for 2 months before she gave birth. I was talking with her every day for maybe 2 to 3 hours on the phone, every day. She was calling me all the time because she really needed to talk. And she was telling me, you know, my sister wants to take care of the baby, but I'm not going to do that. My parents, I don't know. I don't trust them. So I think she was in a bad place also with her family at the time. I think, you know, at the time when that happened, the pressure with the boyfriend, not really being good relation with her parents. The only thing she thought about, oh, I'm going to place her in a good family. And she wanted a close adoption to protect herself. She's like, I don't want to know anything about her. I don't want her to contact me because I'm going to live my life with my boyfriend. We're going to have other children. And I don't want her to resent me that I placed her, I didn't keep her, and I had other kids with another man. So she wanted to protect herself. And she was like, I don't want her to know my last name, anything. I don't want to have any contact. That was at the beginning. And then it changed.
Then it changed. What changed? What do you think changed? Do you mean that you went from a closed to an open adoption?
So what changed? She broke up with the boyfriend because the boyfriend also had issues. So they broke up, and when they broke up, she realized, oh my God, what did I do? She realized, what did I do? I have right actually to see my daughter, which she does. And we were completely open. We were like, yeah, sure, no, let's do this. There's no problem. So after 6 months, she comes back, you know, in our lives, give me a phone call. At the same time, I receive a phone call and I receive an email from the agency saying, hey, you know, she's trying to contact you. I'm like, oh, okay. I still have the same number. And she calls me and she's like, okay, let's, actually, I would like to do an open, you know, adoption. And because we didn't sign any paperwork about close or because if it's a close adoption, I mean, she just disappeared, right? Nothing happened. And if it's an open adoption, there you have to sign paperwork. It has to be seen by the judge and everything. And everything is clear. And you have to respect what's on the papers. So I'm like, okay, let's draw some papers, no problem. And I think, I mean, we couldn't know. We didn't know at that time, you know, her state of mind. But when she came back in her mind, she was going to get her daughter back. I think she had the idea that her daughter was in foster care. And I was like, okay, where did she get that ID from? So I called the agency. I'm like, she knows what she's signed, right? She knows it's not foster care. And the agency was like, yeah, she does. She's like, the agency was like, before we sign anything with the birth mother, she's seen by a psychologist. they talk with her, we explain to her like a lot of time, we give her a lot of time also to change her mind. Because when we went to get her daughter at the hospital, she didn't sign any paper. We were not even guardian. We were babysitters. And yeah, the agency told us clearly, careful, don't bring your family. This is not a happy, you know, it's happy for you, but the birth mother, you have to, you know, be conscious that she's really sad and everything's really sensitive. So they say, you know, be sensitive about that. And remember that you are babysitters for at least 3 weeks. Because she
how
has
was that?
Change
like,
her mind.
You probably felt like you couldn't bond with the baby. Like, are you afraid?
Oh, it was too late. Too bad, because when I saw her, that was it.
Yeah.
When they rolled her in the little, you know, crib, and she had a little bow, you know, little hat, yeah, with a little bow, I was like, okay, yeah, that's my daughter. So I mean, I knew, you know, she could change her mind, and yeah, we were very scared for We were very. Not, you know, sleeping on our 2 ears for like a week, because after a week she signed. She took a week to sign the paperwork. So they didn't, you know, force her at the hospital, sign the paperwork now. You know, they gave her a lot of time, and they say when you have 3 weeks actually. So when you feel you want to sign, you know, the paperwork, let us know. And she called after a week, and she said, okay, I'm ready. And they met with a witness, and they signed all the paperwork. So I know everything was legit, but I realized after she had some mental issue. And I think she thought, you know, that, I don't know, she made a story up in her mind, like, you know, the baby was in a foster care, and she was trying to go through the contract and everything to see what she could do to get her baby back.
Oh, wow. After the baby was born.
Oh, 6 months after. Yeah.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. When she came back in our lives after 6 months.
Okay, so it was an open adoption, but you took her home after she signed. Well, even before she signed, you had her. But then she kind of disappeared for a while and came back.
She disappeared for 6 months. She disappeared for 6 months. Yeah, after we left the hospital, we thought it was a closed adoption. So everybody went their way. She went back with the boyfriend and everything. And after 6 months, she came back because it didn't work out with the boyfriend. And she felt like she was free now to really do what she wanted to do.
Oh,
which
wow.
was to be in contact with her daughter. She never really wanted to put contact, I think. I can feel it now.
Yeah. So did she come see her, or what
so
happened?
So from the contract, we have a monthly video call we do with her. We send her also monthly picture. Every month we send picture. And she can, we have a visit face-to-face once a year. Once a year she can, you know, we have to meet. But it was very difficult at the beginning because, first of all, she's not very consistent. Sometimes she doesn't show up. We don't know why. And then when she showed up, she said, oh, now you owe me 2 visits. We're like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry. No, it doesn't work like that. We cannot do that. Then we had, for like 3 to 4 months, very bad. I blocked her from my phone. Because she was getting very aggressive. She was saying, I'm only the babysitter. I'm not her mom. I didn't bore her. You're not the mom. I'm the mom. I'm going to raise her. So she was really living in her own own world. And I told my husband, I cannot deal with her anymore. This is because she's not talking like this to my husband, by the way. It's a completely different person. It's only she has a problem with me, of course, because I represent, you know, her for her daughter. So I know, I understand.
You're replacing
everything.
Her, yeah.
I know everything. I know what she's doing. So we had like a lot of nasty phone calls. And I think also she was recording the phone call. So we started recording the phone call. So it was getting very nasty. So we started to, I went back to the agency. They said, okay, this is, moderator. How do you call these people? They try to help facilitate.
It's a moderator. Yeah.
Moderator, okay. Mm-hmm. Conversation. So we're like, and this woman, this moderator, talked to her also when she had the baby to help her go through the pain. She's also a psychologist. And so the birth mother didn't want to continue because she said that, oh, I have my own psychologist. But the moderator asked her, but is your psychologist adoption specialist?
Informed, yeah.
Yeah, because this is what you need. You need somebody who knows how to deal with adoption.
Yeah.
And we paid for everything. We paid for the session. She was here, like 5 sessions with a psychologist. We paid for her to be part of a group of birth mother. And I think that's what she was missing. I think she needed to see, to be part of a community of birth mother and maybe, you know, see, you know, what is going on with the other, you know, other ladies, you know, in there.
Mm-hmm.
She refused everything, of course. So the moderator, we tried to do something with the moderator. She refused. Then we had to call a lawyer because we're like, okay, what are our rights there? Because this is going too far. She's getting very, very, she's really aggressive and she's
aggressive.
It's not good for the baby because every time we talk on the phone, at the end, her crying because she can feel the tension.
Yeah.
That's not good for her. And that's not what I wanted. I wanted all love from all of us.
Yeah.
And I was really open, you know, for her to be part of this.
Yeah. I mean, she's reacting from her trauma, but she's also refusing the help to help, you know, that's there to help her too. Yeah, I can't imagine.
At the beginning, I thought, what is she doing? I didn't really understand also. And then when I talked to the moderator, she's like, there's several phases. She's in the phase of, I need to try to get her back. This way I can tell myself I tried everything.
Mm.
She's like, she's in that phase of denial that if I don't try everything, people are going to ask me, why did you place her? Or I will tell myself, I didn't try enough. So she's trying everything she can just to tell herself I tried.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So finally, by the end of the year, my husband really insisted and told her, you know, you need to see her because you need to see her for real. So you will see she's a real child and what she needs because 10, 15 minutes on the phone and the picture, it doesn't feel real. You need to meet her. And then she got very nervous. She canceled 3 times.
Wow.
Thank God we didn't buy the ticket yet because she moved to... Oh yeah, she moved from to another, no, not another state, but like a city like around Los Angeles. So because before she was like only 3 hours away from us. So finally she's like, okay, can I come with my mom? And we're like, you can go whoever you want. There's no problem. So finally we meet in a very nice park. It was a fabulous day. It was a very, very nice day. And the day before I went there, I fasted the whole day. And I went to church and I prayed.
Yeah.
Because I really believe in fasting and praying because I think, you know, your prayer will really get heard better. And that day was perfect. We met and all the nastiness, the meanness, everything went away. It's like nothing happened. She hugged me. The parents were very nice. We were able also to ask the parents, you know, what's going on really. She spent the whole afternoon with her daughter and I gave her some space because she, you know, took her in her arm and she started walking around in the park with her and kissing her and talking to her. And I'm like, and I look at that and I'm like, oh, this is, you know, even talking about it right now, I'm going to cry because it was really nice.
Yeah.
And when I handed her, you know, my daughter, I told my daughter, oh, yeah, that's your mom. You want to say hi to your mom? And when I say that, her dad was next to me and he started crying. He's like, you don't know what you just said. That you don't know how important what you just said. In my heart, I'm like, I know it's her mom, it's her birth mother. There's no problem. And we told her she can call you mom. We have no issue for her calling you mom because this is not the word she's going to use for me anyway, because she's going to use the French word for us. We speak French at home. So there's no competition.
Yeah.
No, there's no two mom. There's going to be a mama and there's going to be a mommy. So
how old was your daughter when they met?
Sorry?
How old was your daughter when they met?
It was like last year. So she was 1 year and a half.
Okay.
She's like 1 year and a half. She's born in May. So she was 1 year and a half. Everything went fine. It was a beautiful day. At the end, we all prayed together. We heard the dad was like, can I make a prayer for us? No, we all need to get along. And I'm like, sure, you know, it takes a village. So we all prayed together. It was very, very nice. We left. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. You know, this is perfect. We're back, you know, because when she was pregnant and we were talking, I'm not going to say we were friends, but we were kind of very close. I was getting very close to her. And I felt like, okay, we're back to that. And when we were at the park, I went to the bathroom to change my daughter's diaper. And she came in the bathroom and she's like, Veronique, I want to thank you. I really want to thank you for being okay with this. And I'm like, being okay with what? She said, you know, being okay with me, seeing her. I'm like, listen, I never said I wasn't okay with this. Never. I was always open to this. I want this. There's no problem. Let's do this, you know,
yeah.
Smaller for the baby. So I thought we were good.
Everything was good, right? Uh-oh.
Yes. Uh-oh.
Sounds like there's a part two coming.
Yeah. So that was in November. Then we left for Christmas. We went on vacation. My husband did the last Christmas video call with her. She could see her for Christmas. Then we came back in January. I'm like, okay, so I'm going back on the call because I didn't do the call for like 6-7 months because we couldn't talk anymore. So I'm like, okay, This month is me. And so my husband's like, okay, Veronique is going to call you. When do you want to do the visit? And she's like, I don't want to talk to her. You know why?
What?
What? Like, I have my reason. You know why? I'm like, are we back to this? Is she serious? That was 2 months ago. We were hugging and crying. What's going on?
Wow.
What? So I texted her. I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. We hug, we talk, and your dad made that prayer. We need to get along. Please don't go back to there. And I told her, I already moved on from this. Can we move on from this? And she said, okay. I'm like, okay, she's good. Then the day she wanted to talk to, I think it was maybe February now, because she wanted to talk to her for Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, she doesn't answer my call. She doesn't answer my call. She doesn't answer my call. And she texts my husband. She's like, I don't want her to call me, blah, blah, blah. So to make the story short, I send her a voicemail saying, listen, your daughter is ready to see you. She's having dinner. She's ready to see you for Valentine's Day. She's not going to wait forever because after I have to give her a bath and everything. So if you want to see her, it's now. If you don't see her now, you're going to see her next month. And from now on, it's going to be once is me, once is my husband, once is me, once is my husband. If you don't want to see when it's me, you're going to see her every 2 months. So yeah. I said also something, you know, you told me you were Christian. If you're Christian, you wouldn't behave like this. This is your daughter. You're putting what you have against me above her. This shouldn't be happening. And I told her, you know, and I think that's did the trick. I said, we pray together.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we pray together. We hug each other. And we made that promise to God that we were getting along. And now you're doing this.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, she called. But I think that did the trick, you know, because I talk about religion. And she's really spiritual. So she talked to her daughter. And, you know, after she talked to her like 15 minutes. But now we're back to work. She doesn't want to talk to me. She doesn't want to. She's still in that state of mind.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe she's like maybe on medication and then off medication or something.
I think there's some bipolar issue.
Yeah, something.
You know, when we had a file, because they tell you, you know, if the birth mother has, you know, drug issue, mental issue, because of course the women are going to place their kid, you know, they have issue or they wouldn't do that, right? So for her, it was, they were just saying that she was chronic depression and that she stopped the medication while she was pregnant. She's like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I feel like when she's not taking that medication, she's kind of behaving normally. And I think maybe when she's on that medication, it makes her a bit cuckoo, or I don't know, but exactly what you said, you know, with my husband, we're always like, okay, is she on medication or not now? Is it, you know, Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde we're going to talk to today? We never know.
Right.
We never know what to expect.
Yeah. So how is it now?
So now, last month.
How old is your daughter now? She's 3?
She's almost 2. She's going to be 2 in May. So right now, she really doesn't know what's going
on. This was recent. Yeah, this is all
recent. Yes, yeah. I'm doing February.
Yeah, yeah.
Valentine's Day this year. So, my daughter, she doesn't know what's going on. She knows she sees that lady once a month. I guess she doesn't even remember, you know, that she saw her the month before because she's still little. The birth mother, she missed like 2 or 3 calls. She didn't do January. Then she didn't want to do February. Then she harassed us saying, you know, okay, you owe me 2 phone calls. And we're like, no, we're not going to do that. If you missed a call in 30 days, that's your problem. You know, we cannot get your service. So now my fear a little bit is that she might be consistent for a while. And when her daughter is going to know who she is, she might disappear again.
Yeah.
That's my fear. I don't know how. And she changes her phone number like every month. She has a new phone number. We have to keep up with her. Oh, okay. This is she changed her phone number last week again.
Yeah. It's going to be hurtful for your daughter, but I wouldn't try and shelter her from that too much because, you know, she needs to know that, and you're just going to need to be there to help her through that. But I would just let those cards fall. It's on the birth mother at that point. And, you know, unfortunately, that's all going to, she's going to realize that, like you just said, she's going to realize mom's back and forth and that maybe I'm just not important enough to be in her life. And that's going to be, you know, some issues. That was another thing I was going to ask you. And I think you sent me a question about that. What is available for adoptive parents and the birth mother, like after the adoption? Like, is there psychological, and also for the baby, is there, like, as the baby grows, is there any, or is that kind of on you guys to get counseling for the baby?
I think for the baby, for the birth mother, the agency, they give you a lot of options for, so like I said, you know, to pay for the psychologist, like at least 5 sessions for to see a psychologist, and she can be part of a group of birth mother. And the group is being lead by a mediator, and they can, and they have, I think they have a Facebook also page, and they can meet. I mean, at that time it was still COVID, so I guess they had Zoom, you know, meeting stuff like that. So there was some support. There was some support, but she refused all of them. She didn't want to do any of them. She was like, "No, I don't want people to know my life and stuff like that." I'm like, "You don't need to tell about you, but you can maybe listen to the people and see." Yeah. Or they react, you know, or they act, you know, because you're in the same position.
Yeah, I was going to say it makes you feel not so alone, that you're not, you know, your feelings are valid. And yeah,
exactly.
What you're going through. Before you adopted, what kind of training did you get on raising an adoptee? Because it can be kind of challenging.
Yeah.
Did they give you anything?
So yeah, they gave us a lot of books to read. So have one book that I'm not yet started, but it's in my list. So we bought one of the book, and they had also a lot of videos that we could watch, you know, from their website. So they give you some material, you know, they give you some material to some direction to go. And they do the seminar also when they explain, you know, what to expect. Maybe not raising the baby, but what to expect, you know, with the...
Like the process.
The process, yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice any behavior issues with your daughter? Like when you brought her home, like, did you notice any like excessive crying or sadness or grief or any issues?
No, I think she's
like
too young.
That?
Yeah. After the visit, you mean? The face-to-face?
No, like as a baby when you brought her home.
Oh, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like at first being taken from the birth mother and having that.
What happened when she was born, I was supposed to be there at the hospital. And she wanted me to be there at the birth.
And you were on vacation again or something.
No. We knew where she was going to be. She was due. So we're like, we're not going anywhere. So we prepare everything. I book a hotel for a whole week. I'm going to work from the hotel. My husband is going to stay there with our oldest, you know, at home. I'm going to go there because she lives 3 hours away from where we were. And the day we're supposed to all go there, spend the weekend there. And my husband was going to go back home on Sunday. The baby arrived at like 7 a.m. We were still in bed. I woke up, had like 3 missed calls, 2 from the agency.
Oh, no.
One from me, I'm in labor. I'm like, oh, no. So we're driving like the maniac on the highway. And we go there and she was already born.
Oh, my
God. I can't believe this. So it was really well arranged. We had a room next to her in the hospital. Everything was taken care of. I'm like, okay, thank you very much. And the thing she didn't hold her when she was born. Mm. Nobody really hold her. So by the time we arrived, she was born for like 3 hours, and she maybe had been held by a nurse, you know, something like that. And my husband held her for like 6 hours. Mm. He didn't let her go. He just like it was. She was with him like 6 hours. Then we slept there. And so we were a little bit of an attraction at the hospital because I think they never had an adoption like this, open adoption, you know, in that hospital. So we had a lot of questions. So, is she your surrogate? Is she a friend?
Yeah.
I want to know each other. So all the nurses were all around. We were like the star of the floor.
Right.
They didn't know what was going on.
So did she ever hold the baby? the birth
So
center?
yeah, one of the nurse talked to her and said, you have to say goodbye. You have to acknowledge, you know, that you had a baby and you have to say goodbye. So they asked us, you know, is it okay? We're like, yeah, sure. Because she didn't even like made any decision. When we were driving there, I received a phone call from the hospital and they tell me, so we need to do that on the baby, this intervention on the baby. Is that okay with you? And like, what? and they say, yeah, we are the birth mother. And she said, no, ask the parents. So I'm like, okay, yeah, do whatever you need to do, all right? So she didn't want to hold her or anything. So we said, yeah, that's fine. So she came in our room and the baby was having like a little the test for audition. So there was a nurse there and the nurse said, oh, you want to hold her? So she held her while the nurse was doing the test. And it was really like, and look at them, I'm like, oh, that was really cute, you know? She was holding her and she was caressing her head, but then she started to freak out.
Yeah.
She started to freak out. The baby was really small, by the way. She was really small when she was born. And so she started to freak out and she was like, she's too heavy. She's too heavy. I can't. And I think she was about to drop her or something. So my husband jumped and said, okay, I'm going to do it. And it took over.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I think she freaked out a little bit. And then the nurse left and we started, she turned around. She said, thank you. You don't know what you're doing for me. Thank you very much. I want to thank you. And she started holding me. We started crying together. I'm telling you, we were really, really close. So she, yeah, that's all the contact she had with the baby. And when we came home with her, she was the perfect baby. She slept after like 2 or 3 months. She did like full nights. I'm like, oh my God, it's so much easier when you don't give birth. You know, you don't have all the recovery,
right.
To deal with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's so much easier. So, but no, we didn't feel like there was any, the only thing I could say from what I remember with my first daughter, which was natural, I think the bonding time with her took a bit longer, like for her to really come to me or hug me and things like that. I think with my daughter, it was more
that natural instinct
faster.
Was there, yeah.
Yeah. So I know it's maybe because I breastfed her also. No, I think breastfeeding also bonds you with the baby a bit more. So I didn't breastfeed her, so I don't know. But now, now she's like, she kisses me all the time. She runs to me at daycare. When she sees me, she's like, you know, so she knows who I am. There's no, we don't feel any difference. I mean, for us, she's our daughter. There's no differences.
Yeah. Do you think that adoption is traumatic for the baby being separated from the birth mother?
That's a good question. I know it's traumatic for the birth mother for sure. That's traumatic for her. That's 100%. For the baby, I don't know. I'm not really sure because, like I said, you know, when we came, we held her right away. She wasn't like, you know, in the nursery all alone in a little crib for a whole day. We came and we really took care of her right away. Do you really know, you know, who's taking care of you? I mean, like I said, you know, I was raised by another woman and I thought she was my mom. I didn't really feel, you know, and I think the confusion came later when I was aged to understand, oh no, she's not my mom. That's my mom. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I really had any, when I was little, for me it was, oh yeah, you know, she's the one giving me my bottle or, you know, she's the one feeding me. I don't think there was a big issue with that.
Yeah. How do you handle discussions with your daughter? You probably haven't had many yet, but when she comes to you and has, you know, questions about her birth family or adoption in general, how do you plan on handling those questions? Especially with her birth mother being kind of erratic and stuff.
Well, I'm hoping that we can stay in contact actually with the parents of the birth mother. Because that was the plan when we were there at the park. They asked us, you know, they had a lot of gifts for her and stuff. And they arranged a picnic for us. They were really, really nice people. And so the parents said, can we stay in contact with you? You know, have your address so we can send her a gift for Christmas? And we said, yeah, sure. And in her mind, we're like, oh, the birth mother, she has her address. I think she has her address from the paperwork. And I said, you know, she can, you know, give them to you. And we're supposed to exchange phone numbers. I don't know what happened. I thought my husband did it. He thought I did it. Nobody did anything. And when we left, I'm like, did you give us the information? And he said, oh, no, I thought you did it. But I was like, oh, we can do it later. It's not, no, because everything is good now.
Yeah.
Now it's back to war. So I don't even dare asking her, can we have, you know, your parents' information? This way we can send them things. So I'm hoping.
Yeah.
She's sending pictures, forwarding all the pictures and everything. Maybe her parents are going to ask her, you know, for the address. I'm not really sure. But I think for the future, we will be in contact with them and we'll be able, you know, to even visit them, yeah, you know, without her or whatever. Because she has like 6 or 7 brothers and sisters.
Wow. Yeah, and that's important.
The dad was sad because, like, you know, she has cousins. We have no other grandchildren. We like to know her, actually, also. And she doesn't know that part of the family. And we want her to know that part of the family. She has cousins. Mm-hmm. And she has grandparents.
Yeah. What would you say are the pros and cons of open versus closed adoption, in your opinion, in your experience?
Yeah. I think the pros and cons, I think it depends on the birth mother. In our case, I don't think open adoption is good for her, to be honest. I think every month it's torture for her. Just to see me or just to hear my voice. Or,
yeah.
I think the agency, usually the rules of the visit are every 2 months, pictures and video calls, once a year, the face-to-face. But she was really insisting, and they're like, she's really insisting, do you mind doing once a month? And I'm like, no, I don't care. I'm always posting picture, you know, on Facebook every day. So once a month, it's okay. No, I think it's too much. I think it's too much for her.
Mm, yeah.
You know, if she was
realize what she can handle and what she couldn't handle. And
yeah, I think it's too much for her. So I think it depends, you know, who do you have to deal with? If it's like, for instance, a teen mom, but she's right in her mind, you know, there's no problem. Or it could be a mother where you have five kids and there's no way she can handle a sixth one. You know, people rational, open adoption is great, rational people. But people who have mental issues, drugs issues, things like that, I don't know if it's good for her. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if you would, as a birth mother giving up your child, if you would know how you're going to react in that moment.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because it's so traumatic. I can't even imagine what you're going through in that moment, and then what you have to do to live every day after that. It's just, I as a mother cannot imagine, you know, and I don't think you can kind of,
no, I can't.
You might know, you might think you, how you might react, but I don't think you really know until you're in that moment, you know, and actually giving up your child. Let's talk about, do you want to say something about that?
No, go ahead. Okay. I agree.
Let's talk about the post-adoption contract agreement, the PAC. Mm. I'm not really familiar with that. So can you tell us what that is?
So this is where you write everything in details, how it's going to be, you know, after the adoption, how many visits, how many, what she can do, what she cannot do. So for instance, we could, if we were really mean, we could stop all of this, all the contact, because there's a little clause in the contract saying, you know, if there's a lack of trust and if there's a lack of disrespect, something like that, you know, you could go see a judge and say, we need to change something. Mm. So my husband is really against that. I don't want to deal with that either. So we're not going to do that. But there's a lack of trust now, because we know she might talk to, I don't know, to lawyers or whatever to try to see if she can have her daughter back. Well, we do that when, you know, it's final. Nothing is going to change. You know, we talked to a lawyer and he said, unless he was a fake agency, there's no way she can, you know, attack you on this. It's like, it's final. So the post-adoption contract is just saying everything is going to happen for 12 years, by the way. Because 12 years. It's 12 years. So after 12 years, it's going to be other decision if she wants to stay in contact with her mom or... But I mean, by that age anyway, she would be old enough to go online herself, you know, and log in and talk to her if she wants to. So we won't really have to, you know, to do anything.
Yeah.
But it's up to 12 years.
Yeah. So that, even for me hearing that, I would really tell her as much truth as you can about the birth mother so that at that point she can make a informed decision, you know, because if she doesn't know some of these things going on, you know, she may make an uninformed decision and decide to kind of jump in there. How would you feel if she decided to have a close relationship with her birth mother, even though she was kind of erratic?
I hope she will. I want her to be close to it's her mom. She gave her life. You know, I'm telling you, there's no competition because I'm the one raising her. I see her every day. I put her to bed every night. There's no competition. For me, it's more love. Mm-hmm. But from what I saw until now, I think she will realize very fast that there's some issue because we had issue with, she was reading a book and the book had, you know, the color of the word in French, not in English. you know, when they have all those colors, when it rains, rainbow. Oh my God.
Oh, rainbow. The rainbow.
So the color was about, the book was about a unicorn and, you know, the rainbow colors and stuff. And the birth mother freaked out because she thought it was about LGBT stuff.
Oh gosh.
Yes. And we had a big fight on the phone because she's like, you need to get rid of that book. I don't want my daughter to see that. And she think because, you know, we're immigrant or whatever, we don't know what's going on in America with maybe LGBT pushing their agenda to kids. She's like, you don't know what's going on in this country. You know, they're trying to do that. And with these kind of books. And my husband was like, listen, it's about a unicorn.
Yeah. And like, you're going to be able to shield her from that anyway out in the world.
And that's exactly what he said. You know, he said, you know, we have friends from all over they're not all Christian, by the way. So we won't be able to shield her from the world. She's going to see everything, you know, in the world. So I think our daughter is going to, if she continues in that, you know, in that route, she will see quickly, you know, when she's online with her that there's something is off. So she might make her own decision, like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to talk to her that often or.
Yeah.
By the time she's seven, eight, six, seven, you know, you can already realize, you know, if you want to talk to the lady or not.
Yeah. Like I said, you're just going to have to be there for her to experience her birth mother and just be there for her to help her through any emotions and feelings that she's going to feel about how she's processing all of that, you know. So I have a question for you because I, you know, in the adoptee circles, I hear a lot about, you know, profit adoptions and, you know, people, the adoptees are like, they're selling babies. And I've heard that certain babies have higher price tags. So, you know, it could be due to their race or some genetic factors that why they might go for a higher, because they're more in demand, you know. Have you heard about that? Did you experience that at all? I'm just curious what, you know, and then what is the average cost? You said 20,000. I've heard up to 70,000. I don't know. I mean, this is just hearsay.
So 20,000 is the price of the agency, what they ask for, the match and everything. And after you have all those things around it. So for us, it costs us at least 50,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you have to pay for the, when he goes to, you know, to sign the paperwork to the California board or whatever, then you have to sign for the doctor, then you have to sign for a lot of stuff. Oh, and also you have to take care of the birth mother. You know, you have to take care of her for the month when they... So they try to introduce you to the birth mother not too early, not like 5 months. Mm-hmm. So they introduced us to... For us, our birth mother was introduced when she was 7 months. So we had to take care of her for 2 months because she was living in a motel.
And so what does that mean exactly, so, taking care of her?
So she was kind of homeless. So she was in a motel where she had to move every week. She couldn't stay more than a week in a hotel. And I'm like, no. So we paid like an Airbnb for her for 2 months. Then you have to pay also for food, maybe phone, stuff like that, you know. So you give the agency, they have flat fees for everything. So you don't pay her because of course it would be like buying a baby, right? Yeah. So everything is regulated. There's when you go on the website of the agency, they will tell you this is for the rent, you know, how much you can, I mean, it's up to you for the rent, of course, how much you can put for the rent. This is what we give her for food and stuff like that. And you just pay through the agency and they give her, you know, gift card and stuff like that. And this is what she can pay. You can pay also for Uber taxi for her to go to the hospital, stuff like that. We were lucky that she was covered by California the health for the healthcare, so we didn't have to pay anything for healthcare. But I think some states you have to pay also, you know, for her when she goes see the doctor, for delivery, stuff like that. The bill can go very, very high. That's for sure.
Yeah,
Yeah, this,
definitely.
I mean,
So you
there is
probably
a...
don't even know how high it can go in the beginning. I mean, you
Oh
don't know
no,
what
yeah.
she's going to need or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, yeah, it
wow.
can go very, very high. I mean, there is another way also to, you know, to, you can adopt, you know, through foster care, and it's free. I mean, if people, you know, if you have this kind of money, and like I told you, if it wasn't covered by my husband's job, we would have never done that because we couldn't afford this. No way.
Yeah,
And we are
yeah.
very lucky that my husband had this kind of benefit. He checked before. He's like, oh, let me see if that is benefit. He's like, oh, this is how much they gave us. I'm like, okay, perfect. And
But
with
as
that, you
far
can
as
do.
you experienced or saw, there wasn't like, you know, because I've heard, you know, white babies go for more money than, you know, colored babies
I'm
and
sure.
all this stuff. Have you heard that or seen that at all?
So not with the agency. With the agency, they told us, of course, white baby, they don't stay out on the market because most of the parents are white, and of course they want a baby that will look like them, like them. But there's a lot of competition for white baby. And they say, you know, if you're a white couple, or another way, there was also a single mother, you know, gay couple, whatever, they say you might try to be open to every race. And I think that's why we were also matched very quickly. First, we had not a lot of competition, the only black family there, and we were open to any race. I didn't mind if the baby was Indian, Asian, you know, Pacific Island, whatever. We didn't care. So I think that's why we so matched very quickly. And the thing she told us also, so especially in California, she said there's not a lot of Asian baby, not a lot of Indian baby, because this kind of community, they help each other. And if one of if somebody if a woman is pregnant, usually, you know, the mom would take care of it, the aunt, you know, they come together. So she said the most of the kids are placed actually are mixed race baby, because family are like, oh no, we don't want, you know, a black, a Mexican or whatever. So you have to be open. So I wouldn't say that on if you go through a legit agency, there's no rate for a white baby or whatever. You might wait more if you want somebody who look like you. But on at the same time, I was doing something else. There is what because I'm like, oh, that's taking a long time. And I heard about those what do you call them? It's not mediator. It's like somebody who works for, they are not lawyers, but they will find a pregnant lady
Yeah,
for you.
we call them baby brokers.
Yeah. There
And
is
the
another
adoption,
word, but
the
yeah, okay,
adoptees call
baby
them baby
brokers.
brokers.
Yeah. There's another word. I mean, the official, you know, that they
I'm
use
sure
for
there
that
is an
term.
official
Yes, yes. So I worked with that woman for like 3 months, because after 3 months we were matched. But so she has a website, and you have all the babies there with all the race and everything, all the story of the birth mother. And to be like matched, you have to apply through the link, and you have to pay like maybe like $20 or $50 just to apply, to be presented. And then after, it's like, it's very expensive. It's very, very expensive.
There's
So
actually pages on Facebook, and I mean they all seem like a scam. People are selling their babies on Facebook. And there's
what?
actually people, yes, there's
Really?
sites on there, and I think it's a scam, obviously. There's people that are so desperate for a baby that they are on
Oh.
there saying, "I want your baby, contact me, DM me," you know. It's horrible. It is horrible, but yeah, people are just so desperate that they'll fall for that stuff, you know.
Facebook
They
should
put,
remove that page. Should remove that. That's I think
we've
even
the
it's illegal,
adoptees
right?
find those pages and we're like, report it, report, you know, we tell each other to
Yeah.
report those pages because it's, yeah, it's got to be a scam. There's no way you can't be selling your babies on
No,
Facebook,
you
you know.
can't.
But people are
But
so desperate that they'll send them money, you know, they'll send some money.
oh my God. But you can feel kind of a way, you know, after you went through this agency and you spend that much money, you can be like, yeah, I bought a baby, because it's so expensive. You can feel like, yeah, you bought a baby. But in another way, I'm thinking, you know, and I helped someone, because she was not good when I met her. She was not good. She wasn't really, you know, heavy. She had a little belly. She was all skinny. I don't think she was eating right. You know, we went to a nice restaurant, you know, to a good restaurant. We have lunch. I said, you know, do you want to take your stuff, you know, like pack your leftovers and everything. She's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna also bring some for my boyfriend. I don't think they were eating right, you know, living in a motel and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, we're gonna put you, you know, somewhere comfortable when you can relax and sleep. Because she was saying, you know, I have to wake up every day because they come in the room to clean and I cannot sleep. So in my mind, I was like, okay, I know we pay all those, you know, fees for the agency, but the fees didn't go to her. It's not like we paid her, right?
So what do you think about the adoption agency as a whole? Like, do you see any areas that need improvement?
I don't understand why it's so expensive. I don't understand, you know, where's all the money going? I mean,
I don't think it should be for profit. You know, none of these adoption agencies should be for profit. Like, I think that's what gets me.
I guess they need to pay the employee because there's a lot of people working there, you know, and trying to match you with someone. Also, it needs to be more transparent about the matching because I didn't know if you were getting presented or not. And after 6 months, I'm like, how come we don't even get matched with one baby? And she's like, no, actually, your profile is being visited a lot. And she said, we actually presented you like 19 times, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I didn't know. You never told us. You know, I thought nothing was happening, you know, backstage. So can you be more transparent about that? You know, I didn't really know. More transparency about the matching, maybe. I don't know why those prices are so, it's like $5,000 the marketing company takes
package
for the
or whatever,
or $3,000, I don't remember. It was so much money. So there were some prices I'm like, wow, really? 5K to I think it was the matching thing for them, because you could register with them saying you want to adopt a baby, but be matched by somebody outside. And then, so if you match with one of those baby broker, for instance, so the agency doesn't match you, you pay the baby broker, which is cheaper than the agency actually. Then when you match, the agency is doing all the paperwork. That's what you're paying them for. They are the one doing all the paperwork. So, but we're like, no, I'm not going to do that. So we pay them for the match. And I think that was 5K for like 3 years, something like that. But after 3 years, if you're not matched, you have to repay again. So I
thought, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Wow.
And I'm telling you, there's some people in there, when I check on the website sometimes, they've been there for more than 2 years.
Yeah.
So,
wow. So as an adoptive parent, what advice would you give those that are thinking about adopting?
Be very patient. Because it can take a long time. Be very patient. Be open to a baby not going to look like you. Because if you really want, first of all, you cannot choose the gender, by the way. It's not not placing an order.
So, yeah, what if the baby's born and you look at the baby and you're like, this isn't what I want? You know,
well,
you can't do
well,
that.
Too bad.
Okay.
Well, I think I don't think it happened, but I think you can change your mind as a adoptive parent. You can say, you know, oh no, we're not ready or whatever. But it doesn't look good if you do that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody did that. No, a baby is a baby, you know? Yeah. How can you go there and say, I don't want that baby? No, you know, you're open to, our baby are so cute.
I've heard of it happening.
Really?
Yeah.
People say, no, we don't want him or her?
Yeah, because they had red hair and they were like, oh, we don't want a redheaded baby. We'll wait for the next one.
Well, you're not ready to be parents. If that's so important for you that the baby has red hair, you shouldn't even be parent. It's not what it's about.
Yeah, whatever. I know.
I hope they waited like 5 more years to
I that. Know, right? I know. Yes.
I don't remember
anything
the question.
Anything else you want to tell parents that are thinking about adopting?
Be patient. Continue to live your life. Don't think about it, because I think the more you think about it, the less it's going to happen. Continue your life, like, you know it's going to happen. Just live your life. Go on vacation, you know, do your stuff. Be patient. Maybe try also the route. Foster. We also thought to do foster to adopt. You know, it's so expensive to do private adoption. You need to learn about there's other routes you can do. Foster to adopt, when after a year you can adopt the child. It doesn't have to be a baby, it could be 1 or 2 years old. And after a year, the mom is not, usually sometimes they don't show up because they have issue. You can apply and adopt the child. And that's free. You don't have to pay for it. So, you know, there's other route than private adoption. be careful when you sign also the PACA, I mean the post-adoption contract. Try to see if you're comfortable with it. And because it benefits, of course, the birth mother, but it needs also to benefit the child, and you need to be comfortable with it also, because for us right now, it's like every time we think, oh, okay, it's a new month. We're going to have to, what is going to happen now? Is she going to be on right mind or not? You know, if we had maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Once my husband wants me this way, one of us has 2 months. 1 month is not taking care of this. Mm. He's not dealing with this, you know. So hoping that the birth mother can find some support somewhere, because I think that's one of the most horrible things that can happen to a woman, to place a child. There's no way a woman, no woman want that. If you have a baby, you want. If you kept the baby, it's because, you know, you want it.
Yeah.
And when he's born, you know, you don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
So I was really hoping she would get some support, you know, for that.
Yeah.
I think she needs it.
Sounds like it. So in closing, what would you like struggling adoptive parents to know? Maybe that they're struggling with maybe the birth mother or just raising their adoptive child. What would you like them to know?
You guys are not alone. I think there's a lot of us, you know, out there. And actually, you know, when you were asking me at the beginning if I was part of a community, I was going to look around to see if there was, you know, other parents like me, adoptive parents who have issue, you know, with their birth mother, and see, you know, what did you do, guys? You know, what did you do? Did you talk to a mediator, moderator? Did you contact a lawyer? You know, what's going on? Because sometimes I think that we need a break, and sometimes I think, you know, it might even be better for her. Maybe she can talk to her when she can respond to her, when our child be old enough to respond to her. Because right now it's kind of difficult. So, yeah, just know, yeah, you're not alone. There's a lot of us out there struggling a little bit. But it's all worth it. It's all worth it. I'm happy every day when I see her. I'm happy every day. So she's really part of our family.
Yeah. If you or there is an adoptive parent out there that is struggling, Beth Syverson has a lot of help for you guys. It's she has a podcast as well, Unraveling Adoption. And she's an adoptive parent who has struggled a lot with her child. And she does coaching now and has all kinds of resources and pages. So if you are an adoptive parent out there, I'll put the links in the show notes for Beth. But Veronique, tell us about your podcast and where we can find you.
Yes. So I have a podcast. I co-host a podcast with my friend Sylvia. So I'm from the French Caribbean. She's from Brazil. And we have a podcast about motherhood, spirituality. And it's called High Vibes and a Mic. And we are on any platform where you podcast, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify, iHeartRadio, you can find us. And you can see the extract of our show. We put some clips on Instagram. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. It's called High Vibes and a Mic.
And all those links will be in the show notes if you want to connect with Veronique and her podcast. But thank you so much for coming on today, Veronique. Like I said, I don't get a lot of adoptive parents, and so I had a ton of questions for you. So thank you for educating us on the adoptive parent view today.
Thank you. It was fun. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
I want to thank Veronique again for being just so open and honest with her story today. And I want to thank you for listening all the way through to the end of this podcast. And I hope you got something out of it. I hope you learned something new. I hope that there were some seeds planted for you to think about. And, you know, some things that made me think were, I don't know how I would handle infertility issues. Would I have thought about adopting? I don't know. I wasn't put in that position. I don't know what I would feel about having an open adoption with the birth mother, even if it was more beneficial to my child. I don't know if I would be okay with that. So just trying to see things through another person's eyes and their perspective is what I was trying to do today. And I definitely am thinking about a few of the things that she said. And, you know, I may not agree with everything that she said. And I'm sure maybe I said a couple of things that maybe she didn't agree with either, but educating ourselves, again, educating ourselves so that we can have an informed belief around what we are feeling and saying to others is huge. So I hope you got some food for thought today. And I want to thank Veronique for, again, being so open and honest as an adoptive parent, being brave and coming on an adoptee podcast. You never know what we're going to say or do. So thank you for being brave and coming on today. If you are an adoptive parent and struggling with your adoptive child, or just have some questions about being an adoptive parent, the links are in the show notes to Beth Syverson. She is a great resource for all kinds of things. And she also has a podcast, Unraveling Adoption. So all those links are in the show notes if you need help. If you're an adoptee and need help, get in contact with me, mindyourownkarma@gmail.com. I have 1,001 resources for you, including myself. I do somatic mindful guided imagery. So if you want to know more about that, you can go to my website, somatichealingjourneys.com. If you want to be on the podcast, get in touch with me. Let's get your story on the podcast. As always, take what you need and leave what you don't. And always remember to mind your own karma. I'll see you next time.